Soaking in our own natural juices, friends. Welcome in to this edition of Fusebox. I'm your host, Mark Rose. And over there, at the control, and squinting madly at the moment, is the Knobmeister himself, Milt Keynes. What's up? Did you forget your glasses, or are those contacts, or what's going on? Oh, well, any chance they fell off behind the...
Well, I checked that. Seriously, we'd have to have some kind of earthquake or something to tweak them off of here.
Well, they gotta be around here somewhere. Well, and if it's any consolation, you know, I'm missing my little, portable hard drive. You know the one? It's about the size of a wallet. Seen that one?
Yeah, I know the one. It's in that little black case thing.
Yeah, right. It was in the office the other day, and now nowhere to be found. What I'm thinking is maybe I probably picked it up and absentmindedly put it somewhere to keep it safe, you know, how we do that. And then I forgot about it completely.
Well, you have been running around a lot lately.
Well, I have indeed. We're gearing up for show number 50 come September 20th. And we are going to let all the stops out on that one, folks. Let me tell you. Shaping up grand. Just grand. But I do hope you find your specs, because, yeah, that's kind of irritating.
Yeah, me too. As it's a pain in the ass reading from this monitor without them. But before we get too far down the rabbit hole, you're on a roll with these titles, man.
Well,
what the hell is a mountebank?
Yeah, mountebank is an old word, probably Old English, I'm guessing, I don't know, for a charlatan or quack. And as you know, I have a fondness for the con person of any kind and all persuasions. Having spent more than adequate time in the fine state of Florida, where, as we know, all con persons who have ever been or aspire to be have either lived or passed through that particular region of the country. I've met many.
Yeah, it kind of goes with the snake oil salesman.
Oh, yeah, indeed. And those, as we know these days, are by no means relegated to one state alone. No. Through the miracle of multi-level scamming, we have scads of opportunities now to separate you from your hard-earned cash. You know, and all of them? Yeah, that all of them. With very dubious semi-medical claims. Seriously.
I thought that shit was illegal. You know, to make claims about the health benefits of a product.
Yeah, well, it actually is illegal. And there are some pretty shady practices going on out there in terms of evidence. My favorite one at the moment, and I'm not mentioning any product names.
Good thing.
Yeah, well, we don't want to be a parking lot that quick. Yeah, well, this one natural product, we'll call it an essential oil of sorts, has repeatedly made the claim that it far exceeds the standards of excellence levied on such substances by the FDA or whomever it is down there that does such things, and can prove it by, well, just look at this here chart. We're to believe the dramatic arrows and bar graph lines indicating stratospheric levels of grandeur and perfection that these little oils can do for you. The funny thing is, the standard of measure that these folks are using, it's not a federally created one. No. They created their own standard of measure and run their products through that.
Wait, what? Wait a minute, isn't that kind of like printing your own money?
Of course it is. See, based on the falsified documents we have here, these oils prevent brain worms, cure blindness, and remove unwanted hair in just seconds. Use only as directed.
Wow. And who is it that oversees this higher standard?
That's the best part, Milt. The company that makes it.
Okay, let me see if I get this. You have a company that makes a product.
Uh-huh.
Who then tests this product's efficacy based on a standard they created.
Yep.
And then have the whole shooting match administered by the same company that makes it?
Bingo.
Awesome. I'm in. Where do I sign up?
And add to that, this company and their products are housed neatly in the multi-level marketing type of model. So there's that. I keep saying that this whole carny world thing that really has never left us, it's just expanded into sales and marketing.
Some would argue it was always that way.
They might be correct, sir. We asked this giant cephalopod which brand of peanut butter it prefers, this nationally recognized brand or new creamy Jits.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it.
Upcoming, we have another in the award-winning series of interviews conducted by our colleague and colloquy, Jimbo, as he interviews one of our own here on the show, none other than Jeff Pollard, cohort, co-producer, co-writer, and all-around coherent type of guy, on the next Jimbo interview segment coming up. Always a treat, and
what award was that exactly?
Well, you know that little paper award they put on tins of canned ham that says award winning?
Yeah.
Legends in our own minds for sure. And speaking of interviews, we have one coming up for show number 51 with Bob Blackburn. He's the chap who has become the heir apparent to the Ed Wood estate. Ed Wood, for the possibly three folks out there who don't know of whom I speak, was a filmmaker, writer, sometimes actor, delivered us such gems as Glenn or Glenda, Bride of the Monster, Sinister Urge, Orgy of the Dead, one of my faves, and the always amazing Plan 9 from Outer Space. Or as we always like to have the mighty Criswell say,
can your heart stand the shocking facts about grave robbers from outer space?
You know, I think I had a little seizure just then.
Yes, because our hearts can't stand the pressure about
grave robbers from outer space.
Oh, so anyway, Be looking for that marvelous chat with Bob Blackburn coming up on October 5th. Have you seen the little rubber mouse that actually sits in here?
Hey, buddy, what you do in your spare time's your own affair. I'm just...
No, man, seriously. There was a little rubber mouse sitting on the desk here. It's been here for ages. Now seems to be gone.
Is there like some strange astrological cocktail going on out there or something? I mean, there seems to be a pattern forming here.
Yeah, indeed it does. Another coincident, as we would say. Huh. Well, I do have to do some cleaning up around here anyway this weekend, so...
Got the ladies' swim team coming by for some debauchery?
No such luck. Not on my watch, evidently. Say, speaking of lovely forms, I have been watching this series on Netflix of late called Crossing Lines. Have you heard of this?
Is that the one with Donald Sutherland? He plays like a chief prosecutor for the International Criminal Court, that one?
Yeah. Although that's not the lovely form I was referring to, but he's a very nice man. I'm kind of surprised you know that show, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of a sucker for those crime shows, especially the ones, you know, based out of the U.S.
Make you feel less threatened?
Yeah.
Well, you know, on that show, the cast is made up mostly of international actors, with two exceptions, being Donald Sutherland, and the other chap, William, and I'm going to mangle his name because I'm not sure how to say this, it's Fichtner, or Fichtner, who plays an ex-New York cop now working for the ICC, but there is this character, played by the lovely Gabriella, again, her name, I'm not sure. Is it Passion? I don't know. That's just, well, she, all I can say, she's just hot. I
heard you maneuvering there, but sometimes there just is no better way than just say it. You know what I mean?
Amen to that. But no, but she is something to behold. She has this exotic look that is extremely striking, and it's just does a fabulous job, as actually they all do, with some difficult lines on occasion, without giving us the tell, as we call it sometimes. You know that line that's so chunky that you can't believe you just said it, and you're hoping like hell that you didn't telegraph that second reaction all over the world? You know, happens, folks. Really, it does.
Kind of digger, huh?
Yeah. She's just Marvy, and evidently, she and another actor in that series, Nick Flood, are apparently an item and have been for quite a while. He's very good too. If he isn't Irish, he is very convincing at it. But I think he is very good.
Hell, call her agent. Maybe she'll do an interview.
Oh, a little stunt casting, huh?
Well, you call it stunt casting. I call
it... You call it something else entirely. Yes, I know. Perhaps we will investigate that. Did I mention she's playing a redhead?
Oh, buddy, that calls for... Where's my fire alarm cue? God forbid. Oh, damn it. I can't see the damn buttons on this damn 360 without my freaking glasses. Oh, for crying out loud.
Well played, sir. I appreciate your sonic attempt there. The lovely Miss Gabriella, notwithstanding, check out Crossing Lines on Netflix. It really is an intriguing show and is sort of that hybrid between the U.S. type of crime show and a BBC or Scandinavian variety, which I like very much. Found another one the other day I like a hell of a lot, too, called Spiral. That one's from France, as it turns out.
That one got a redhead, too?
Yeah.
Do I see a pattern forming here again? again?
Probably not, but forming over there with great aplomb is Jimbo, awaiting Mr. Kane's skilled fingertip to activate his aforementioned interview with the highly skilled and not at all a redhead, or are them? Jeff Pollard. Mr. Milt, if you would, sir.
Oh, for crying out loud. Here you go.
The Jimbo Interview, starring Jimbo. Because who else would it be except Jimbo? I mean, it's his show.
Well, Morris, good to see you. I met Jeff. Jeff Pollard, right?
Sure, as far as you know.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing, buddy?
Well, so far so good. Thanks for having me, Jimbo.
It's...
Are you okay?
Well, you're the guy that does all the graphics. You did a graphic for one of my shows that Mark produced.
Yeah. I designed the cover art for Bad to the Bone, I think it was, right?
I wanted to thank you for that. That was awesome. It really was.
Yeah, you're welcome. Very happy to help.
I noticed you did a graphic for Tiger Woods. You know, he got his wife pretty much beat him up and stuff, didn't she?
I don't think she beat him up. Certainly not like the press did anyway. But yeah, I designed Tiger Woods' logo.
So why do you make a graphic for like a loser guy like that? Why you do that?
Hey, why does anybody do the things they do, man? Anyway, the job was through Nike after they'd signed Tiger when he turned pro in 1997. And I'm pretty sure no one, including Tiger, expected his life to go completely sideways like it did. But, you know, he's a human being, so he ain't perfect, that's for sure.
Oh, you know, I'm just kidding.
Or are you?
And I know you did one for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Now, I did, yeah, for the NFL.
I have actually been to Canton, Ohio.
Oh.
And into the Hall of Fame. A great place. And, I mean, you nailed it.
Thank you.
It looks, you know, the Hall of Fame, the NFL, there's a certain majesty that belongs to the NFL.
Right.
And that kind of thing. And you captured that. It looks, your graphic looks better than like any of the Super Bowl graphics. To actually, you know, sit here across from you and talk to you, I'm in awe of you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you, Jimbo. I appreciate that, really.
As far as logos go, you're like Babe Ruth.
Wow, man, thanks. That's some high praise.
So, Jeff, how much would it cost me for you to make like a Jimbo graphic that I could use around here?
Yeah.
How much would you charge me?
Well, as much as I possibly could, Jimbo. Kidding. Actually, it really depends.
See, I thought you were going to say, Jimbo, you know, I'm going to give that to you for absolutely nothing because we are so much alike.
Well, I have done pro bono logos for charities, so, you know. Anyway, I already did one for you when I designed the cover for the Bad to the Bone. That's yours now.
Now, as I understand it, which is, it's kind of strange because you're a graphics guy.
Yeah.
We're all told and led to believe, and we are to assume that you co-write Fusebox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I do. I co-produce with Mark Rose. Who is the host and voice of the show. But yeah, I write for and voice act on Fusebox when I'm not, you know, acting on camera or doing my day job as a graphic designer, which, you know, I use to create the look of Fusebox, of course.
Now, see, this is impressive as your logos are, and they are all quite impressive. And I beg anybody that's listening to go and look at your website. The different logos you have created, they're iconic. I mean, impressive. And yet you also co-write Fusebox, sir. I bow in awe of your talent, sir.
Wow. Hey, you're actually bowing there. But thank you, Jimbo. I appreciate the compliment. I really, really do. Yeah, Fusebox has been an unexpected blast for us. My involvement started when I offered to brand the show visually. Then it just sort of, you know, went from there when I wrote a bit for Timo's World. So, yeah, Mark and Milt and I are having a lot of fun with the show, and we hope folks are enjoying what we do, so...
Have you ever had a logo rejected by a client because it was too graphic?
I see what you did there. Well played, Jimbo, if that's your real name. But no, I can't recall a logo being rejected for being too graphic. Although there was one I did for a skateboarding company, I think it was called Wankers, where I created this little character wearing a stocking cap that resembled a rolled-up condom, and I positioned his body to sort of indirectly suggest he may or may not be masturbating, and his facial expression suggested that maybe he was being caught in the act. And, I did another logo for a horse farm called Hay Processing Unlimited. So I did this very traditional sort of woodcut style illustration of a horse's backside since, you know, that's where hay exits once a horse processes it, right? Anyway, those were pretty graphic, I guess, but... Both were accepted by the clients, and I think won awards, actually.
Look, you got all this amazing artistic talent.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, look, Jeff, I've got it going on myself.
Yeah, you do.
Why don't we team up, and let's build a spaceship and go to Mars?
Mars? Sure, yeah, because, you know, Mars would be better than Uranus.
Jeff, I understand you used to play professional baseball.
Oh, no. I never played professionally. I mean, I wanted to ever since I was a kid, but no, I didn't play for pay. I was scouted, though, by the Orioles and the Red Sox, Mariners, and the Cincinnati Reds mainly. And I did have a tryout with the Reds, actually, but I wasn't signed. So, hey, did... You ever play ball?
Well, I've never played professional baseball, but I've been around professional baseball for most of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And am a big, huge, not only major league fan, I'm a minor league baseball mm-hmm. fan as well.
Yeah, yeah, same here.
Especially of the Rangers. I know the Rangers minor league system really well, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like we're on the same plane. I think we ought to team up together and build a rocket and go to, like, Mars.
Well, yeah, because, you know, of all the baseball they play on Mars, sure. It's the Martian pastime, don't you know?
You know I'm kidding about the whole Mars thing. It's just, you know, it's part of this, you know, people think that I'm not really real and that, but I am really real. I'm absolutely real.
Well,
so.
You seem real. Sort of.
Let me ask you, Jeff, who has the most war between Willie Mays and Ted Williams? Quickly now.
War? Oh, wait, you mean wins above replacement, right? Man, I'd have to say Mays. You know, given his total game, like, you know, I mean, Ted could hit, but so could Willie. And May's total game, you know, speed, defense, arm, hit for power was just greater than Williams. So, yeah, wins above replacement. I got to go with Willie Mays over Ted Williams. How's that? Did I get it right? Did I win a free trip to Mars?
Who has a higher batting average, George Sisler or Ty Cobb?
It's the Jimbo Quiz Show. a higher lifetime average. Well, that'd be Ty Cobb's 367 to Sisler's 340. So yeah, Cobb.
Rogers Hornsby or Ted Williams. Come on, Jeff. You're supposed to be this baseball guy or whatever. Come on, Jeff.
Okay. Taunting the guests now, are we? Okay. Hornsby, for sure. The Raja hit 358 lifetime. Teddy Ballgame hit 344. See? You ain't getting that cheese by me, meat.
You're from Poland, aren't you? Let's see, Jeff Pollard? I would guess that was a Polish name, you reckon?
Huh? Am I Polish? What, no more baseball trivia? Come on, man!
I don't really know, but I'm just guessing. So your name is Pollard, you know, Pollard, Pollock, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so since you're Jimbo, that means you must be Bolivian, right?
How many light bulbs does it take for a Pollard to, wait a minute.
Been drinking Listerine, have you, Jimbo? Or maybe huffing unleaded again? Wait, you're not... Are you having a stroke? Hey, should we call someone?
Well, Jeff, don't you think we ought to combine our talents and maybe write something or do something together? What do you think? Would you do that with me?
Oh, absolutely. Hey, how about we write an erotic novel? We'll call it 50 Shades of Jimbo. Or wait. We'll write science fiction about that spaceship trip to Uranus you want to do.
Did you know that Ted Williams is cryogenically, like, frozen? And one day, him and Walt Disney are going to unfreeze at the same time, and they're going to both walk around, like, Orlando, Florida, and bite the hands of all the little kids that they come across.
Okay, I'm sure the folks in Florida will be thrilled to know that. Seriously, do we need to call 911 here? Anybody?
Remember that All-Star game a few years back when they hauled Ted Williams out there in a wheelchair, you know?
A golf cart. Yeah, I remember that. Really cool moment. Tony Gwynn and all those other All-Stars were just in awe. Very, very cool.
That wasn't really Ted Williams. That was a hologram. It was a hologram. Space. Moon. That's what that was.
You know, I'm kind of thinking this interview is a hologram, actually.
Hey, you know, you live in Portland, right? So yeah. Have you ever gotten like a package or something and you opened it up and it was like women's pajamas or something that didn't belong to you, really? And then you start inspecting the package and you see it says Jeff Pollard in Portland, Maine. You ever done that?
No.
Look, can you ask Mark if I'm finished with these dadgum fuse box interviews? I did Mark, I did Timo, I did Mort.
Right.
And then I'm doing you. What, am I supposed to do the pocket squirrels next?
Well,
they don't even speak English. They speak Japanese, I think. Or,
well, yeah.
I don't know what they speak, Squirrelanese or whatever. I don't know, but I don't think I can communicate with them, and I don't...
Well,
I mean, come on. And when he says that you write half the stuff, basically what you do is you sit down and write an email. Dear Mark, I got an idea. Let's have these little squirrels running around making this little squirrel noise. Yeah, I know.
Is that, I'm sorry, was there a question in there somewhere, or,
No, but Jeff, you've been a good sport, and,
Oh, good, you're back. yeah, it was fun, and great to finally meet you, too, and...
I appreciate you talking to me, and it's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you again for having me on your show, Jimbo, and listen, I hope...
Can I have a hug?
A hug? Yeah. Okay, sure, why not? Come here, big guy. Oh, there you go. Hey, say, Jimbo, could you, take your hands out of my back pockets?
Wow. Hope everything went okay after that interview. Thought those two were going to have a moment there for a second.
And Jimbo, just so you know, the Japanese pocket squirrels have expressed a huge, ginormous urge to be the subject of one of your next interviews, and have prepared a list of sanctioned questions for your consideration.
Sanctioned? By who? Japanese Pocket Squirrel Federation?
Teamsters.
Teamsters? What the heck?
Look, I don't ask questions about affiliations, especially when said discussee is a 300-pound Samoan gentleman driving a wood chipper.
Hi, I'm Carl Cornshaver, and I've been really, really successful in my life, and now I want to share with you my amazing and totally awesome methods of success. A system I call Carl Cornshaver's Amazing and Totally Awesome Methods of Success that are totally awesome and amazing. Grab a pencil, because you'll want to refer to these incredible and totally awesome tips for success all the time. Tip number 53. Do that thing you do, and do it really great. I'm Carl Cornshaver, and I'll see you at the top.
And with that, dear friends, we will call it a show. A highly aroused and tumescent thanks to our contributors to this show.
You need to find a girlfriend.
Maybe. Again, our contributors on this edition of Fusebox, the always debonair Jimbo, the dulcet tones of Sabra May in our little ID there, and the I'm not bad, I'm just drawn that way, Jeff Pollard. Thanks, one and all, for coming to play once again, and to the nearly blind now, Milt Keynes, who squints into the monitor glow looking for life's hidden mysterious truth.
The truth is, I'll have to walk home, as I left the other pair of glasses there.
Oh, no worries. I'll give you a lift, my beady-eyed friend. And to you, gentle listener, for once again pushing play on this edition of Fusebox. Please be sure to check out the Fusebox store, conveniently located at thefuseboxshow.com. And just click the little shopping tab where you will be whisked away to an unbelievable land of sensory distractions and all that there stuff. And as we say continuously, every little dime and nickel spent there helps the show to once again avoid the barking and gnashing three heads of Cerberus as it tries to carry us all away into the dark place known only as Utah. So, until our next cartoon.
Fusebox. Hey, you found my glasses. Except, seem to be covered in peanut butter.